All right, everybody, get your balloon. Everybody stand up, of course. You got to stand up so you'll be able to sit longer. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to have a little illustration to start with, then we're going to go into it. But I'm going to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And every time the answer is yes in your life, I want you to take your balloon and blow a little bit of air in it, all right? And hold the air. Hold it with your finger and don't let the air out until we finish all the questions, until I tell you to release it. And I will do that in just a second. But today we're going to talk about a stronghold that we fight in our lives. And so a lot of us right now, I think, is facing this in the area that we live in. But I want to talk to you about worry. Everybody say worry, would you? So what I'd like to do is this morning, I'd like to start off, and I'm going to talk about a few things that we might have worried about this week only. I'm not going to talk about 20 years ago. I'm going to ask you this week. Everybody has to, who does not have a balloon? If you don't have a balloon, raise your hand, and we've got a balloon here. Back in the back, if you would, go back there. All right, here we're going to start off. Let me just start off. And we said, how many of you this week worried about that you had to order $25,000 worth of windows for your 60 windows you've got to replace in your four homes back on the back end of the parking lot? Anybody else worry about that? That was me. All right, let me ask you this one. How many of you worried about an unexpected bill this week? You got an unexpected bill you didn't know about, and now you're kind of worried about how you're going to pay it. Take a breath and just blow a little bit, all right? Take a breath. All right, how many of you worried about your health this week? Something you saw, you worried about your health this week. Blow a little breath there, would you? Some of you are going to pop your balloon, I can tell already, before we ever get to the end of this. How many of you worried about rebuilding your house this week? Let's see, how many are worried about rebuilding your house this week? Some issue or issue. All right, how many worried about, a family member? How many worried about one of your kids or a mom or a dad or a family member? How many worried about schoolwork this week? You worried about schoolwork, some tests you had to take, something else you had to do? How many worried about what you're going to preach this Sunday? How many worried about your past? Something happened in your past and you worried about it this week. How many of you worried about, how many worried about getting older this week? How many worried about getting older this week? How many worried about worrying this week? How many worried about worrying this week? Oh. Let's see a few more. How many worried about your, your car. How many of you had a problem with your car and you worried about how to get your car fixed? How many worried about your husband this week? How many worried about your wife? All right. I could go on and on. What other things did we worry about this week? LSU. Who worried about LSU this week? Who worried about money this week? Just money. What else? What else were we worried about? What is it? All right. All right. Look, put our scripture up, baseball. All right. Put our scripture up here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap nor store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than a bird? Can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. I tell you, even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or don't worry, saying, what shall we drink? Don't worry by saying, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hey, look at somebody say, don't worry about it. What'd you just say? Hey, don't worry. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. All right, everybody put your balloons up. Let's see. Look here. Now look, some balloons are bigger than other balloons. Well, on the count of three, let them go. One, two, three. All right, you can be seated today. I want to talk to you about the stronghold of worry a little bit today that we're going to pray. Colossians 3 says this way, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. God does not want worry to rule in your heart. God doesn't want you to be worrying all night, all day, getting ulcers. Our peace does not come from some extreme indifference, nor does peace come from just becoming so spiritual that nothing ever bothers you. But peace and non-worry comes from knowing you serve a God who loves you so much that he knows the very hairs on your head. I like what our brother said a few weeks ago. He said, you know, that changes every minute. Come on, somebody. That change, from the time you walked in this door to right now, the number of hairs on your head has changed. And God still knows the number. He knows every little detail about our life. Romans 16 and verse 20 says, the God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. So he wants us to understand we're not battling someone that's not going to be defeated. He is. Philippians 1 says it this way, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one faith for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but to you that you will be saved, and that by God. You know, when Jesus was standing before Pilate, there was a frenzy going on. The high priest and all of that group, the disciples were all in a frenzy of upset and worried. And yet here's Jesus stood in such peace. And he said, you know, nothing, you could do nothing at all against me, save it was given you from up. Come on, somebody. And he was in complete peace. And Paul writes, and he says, Peter writes in Philippians, says, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. You know, when somebody's opposing you, and you're just sitting there in just complete peace. Did you know it does something to their psyche? You ought to be frightened. You ought to be scared. You ought to be upset. You ought to be, look at there. Your house went under like my house went under. Why aren't you falling apart like I'm falling apart? And so the Bible says it happens. Jesus stood there in perfect peace. There is a stronghold called worry. And worry can grab your heart and eat you alive. And you can spend nights and hours and days and life when you look back worrying about things. Matthew 13, Jesus said it this way. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries, everybody say worries. The word of God. Everybody in here is going to hear the word of God this morning. But there is something that will choke this very thing you hear today, the very thing we're talking about, and it's called worry. The worries of this life and the deceitfulness will choke the word. The worries of this life, I call it the weed of worry, that literally will come in where the word of God is growing in your life, and this weed will cause the word to be choked in your life. Not only is sin and outward sin and stuff like that and indifference kills the word in your life, but this thing called worry. Be worried about your children, worried about your future, worried about what's going to take place tomorrow, worry about all this you've got to do or not do. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life choke it out. Worry is, listen, a full-time job for some people. It's a full-time job for some people. Some of you are apostles of worry, apostolically speaking. In the last days, the Bible says men's hearts would fail them for fear and for worry. You know, some people worry all kinds of things. They worry because it's hot. They worry because it's cold. They worry because their hair is straight. Their hair is curly. They worry because they've gained too much weight or lost too much. I mean, it's a full-time job. Listen, why worry? You know what we need in Louisiana right now? We need a state worry week. That's what we need right now in Louisiana. I wish Governor Edwards just come out and say, this week we're gonna set aside this week for a worry. I want everybody to chew your fingernails. I want everybody to pull your hair. I want everybody to stay up late every night. I want you to have ulcers and da-da-da. We're going to call this the State Worry Week coming up and do it. Listen, worry is worthless. It's like a rocking chair. Put a little rocking. It's like it gives you something to do but takes you nowhere. Why is the Bible so strong about warning against worry? Well, what's wrong with worry? You know, it's not that big a deal. Everybody does it, you know. Everybody worries a little bit here and there. Let me tell you why the Bible's so strong against worry. Number one, it exhibits a lack of trust in God. It really does. And everywhere you are, you're a witness to everybody around you. It affects your relationships. Are you a good person to be around when you're all worried?
Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian church?
It damages your health. You know, they say, you know, you say bacteria was the biggest deal. Now they're saying anxiety. The number one, what's the number one health problem in America today? Heart problems. Caused by worry. All right? It hinders your witness. We talked about, you know, I had one guy, he said, one time he said, don't tell me worry don't work. Everything I ever worry about doesn't come to pass. Let me show you why. Let me show you the makeup of worry. Here's how worry is. They did a study on worry. And let me show you this. Go ahead and put 40% of the things that will never, 40% of everything you worry about will never happen. 30% are things about the past that cannot be changed. We're up to 70% here. 12% things relating to criticism by others, mostly untrue. You're up, what, to 82%? 82%. 10% about health, which gets worse when you worry more. And then 8% of what you worry about is things you're probably going to deal with. Can I get an amen in this place? That's where we are. Worry is faith in the negative. It's worry is faith in you name it, the unpleasant. Now, you know, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you felt like a couple Saturdays ago, you're just sitting in your former home. Life is great. You're sleeping and life is going on. And suddenly this happened. Let's watch this. Give a good clap off for there. You know, when you realize that everything, every rug you ever trust in can be jerked out from under you, except God. Come on, somebody. He's a solid rock. So what causes worry? Let's talk about a few things. One of the things is the affluence of our age. I don't know if you ever, how many of you got a good car and a bad car? Anybody got a good car and a bad car? You got a good car. How many of you worry a little bit more about your good car than your bad car? Well, let's go on from that one. All right. Second thing does is the media. One thing, I don't know about you, but one of the good things I did was I didn't have to listen to Hillary or Trump for the whole, I don't know, month and a half. We didn't have a TV or didn't listen or da-da-da. I mean, it was fantastic because the second reasons of worry is so big in our lives is because media always talks about the bad things. I have my iPhone. If I pull up my iPhone right now, everything is given from a negative viewpoint. You know, if I check the weather for today, guess what it says? 10% chance of rain. Why did it say 90% chance of sunshine all day long? It's always from a negative. You ever tuned into the 6 o'clock news and they're trying to push the 10 o'clock news? Do you know what they normally tell you? They do some teaser about some bad thing going on in this life. Everything that it does, that you know, they never come and say, there's nothing going on, everything's great, just watch some cartoon. I'll go on to bed early. That'd be a good thing for you to go on to bed. A third thing, and another reason is the cause of worry, is the pace of our lives. You know, we're the only nation on planet Earth that has a Rushmore Mountain. Oh, the crowd is turning against me, I can tell here. Look at somebody right now and just say, don't worry about it. Just look at them one more time and say, don't worry about it. There are things you can change and things you cannot change. Listen, you know what? There are some things, you know, some people worry about things that don't even exist. You ever got an argument over something that's not even real? Now, if I were to die, would you get married again? What if we won $1 million? What would we do if we won the lottery? What would we do with $1 million? So listen, things you cannot change. Don't worry about things that aren't real. And then secondly, things that you can change, don't worry about them. Change them. Don't lay in bed and worry about how cold it is. Get up and turn the temperature up. Don't worry about things that you can change. Do it. Change it. You know, you ever thought about you worried about your finances? Listen, getting a job might really help. I told one person that he was worried about his finances. I said, why don't you go get a job? Well, I can't find a job. I said, in all this wide world, and all the help wanted signs I've ever seen, you can't get a job? I tell people all the time, just go get you a sheetrock job right now. You can make a lot of money right now. Go give an estimate somewhere, you know. You can cut it in half and still make it. Worry is worthless. You cannot change. Forget it. What you cannot change, stop doing it. One of the worries, this worry is absolutely worthless. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:30. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Listen, before you were ever born, God put in the earth, the ability of this earth to have coal and oil and all that to heat us. Before you were ever born, God had the earth to be able to produce food for us. Long before we were ever born, God took care of us. People worry. Listen, I believe that worry many times literally can lead us into sin. Paul wrote this to Timothy, and he said it this way. Do I have 1 Timothy? I don't have it. Oh, just a minute. Did I leave that one out? Paul wrote and he said this way. He says, he that does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel. And the Bible says in Matthew, now we go to Matthew chapter 6. Yeah, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Do you believe that God is your father? And then he said, if any father does not provide for their relatives, especially for their own household, he's denying the faith and worse than an infidel or an unbeliever. Now look what Matthew says. If for the pagans run after all these things, then your heavenly father knows that you need them. Listen, God said, and he wrote in the book of Timothy, he said, listen, if a father doesn't take care of his children, he's worse than an infidel. Is God a good father or not? And will he take care of us? Everybody say amen. He'll provide for us. I like what it said in Matthew 6 and verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Did you know that every morning God feeds the birds? I don't know if you've ever watched these documentaries or these nature shows, but depending on which viewpoint you watch it is the storyline. You know, like you watch a bear and it's at the cubs and he's sitting there and he's there at the salmon stream and they're grabbing salmon as the salmon's, you know, going back upstream, and it's a lovely scene. If you do it from the viewpoint of the salmon, there's this monster out there eating our family up. So it depends on what viewpoint you look at it from. But God is our Father and God will provide for us. And he says, any day, just go out and watch the birds. I was in Australia one time. I'll never forget, for some reason, we were waiting on someone to come pick us up. And I was sitting there on a seat just outside waiting. And I remember these birds. I started watching these birds. And I watched them go, and it rained, and they were going in the ground. They were eating insects and eating all this. And I was just watching them, and this scripture came back to my heart that God is the one feeding these birds. He says, listen, he says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Listen, you never go out in the morning and go out and watch a bird up there. He's all worried. He's worried whether he's going to have a worm that day or not have a worm that day. He's just so upset. He's so worried. He's fretting. Will there be enough food? You know, he doesn't. He just trusts his creator. And this morning when we got up, listening, what do? We just need to trust our Creator. That He's a good Father, that He feeds the birds of the air and says, aren't you more valuable than a bird? Come on, somebody. He is faithful. You know, one of the other things it says, are you not more valuable than they? You know, we've got, we had up here this morning, we had little Noyemi. Noyemi is 6 months old, my granddaughter. You know what? We had when the flood hit us back there, she was about 4 months old. And you know what? She didn't get all worried about nothing. We picked her up and she said, I wonder how deep the water is right now. She didn't ask that. She didn't want to know where the sandbags were. How many of you did sandbags that morning? I wish I had my 3 hours back from working on sandbags that morning. You don't know Yami? No, Yami never did that. No, Yami, she just laid there. Cooed and smiled. When we had her in a boat, we had her in the boat going down Flannery Road. I know that was a trip. I don't anybody else went down Flannery. We went down Flannery Road in a boat. Come on, somebody. No, Yami, just laying there. She said, you know, my house is 3 feet underwater. She never crossed her little pea brain. Come on, somebody. She just enjoyed life. And she just believed. She didn't worry about where the next meal was coming from. She didn't really worry about where we were going in that boat. She was just along for the ride. Come on, somebody. And she just said, you've never been to the hospital. When we went to the hospital to see her the first time, you know what? The doctor did not walk out and say, I don't want to alarm you guys too much. But little baby, she's in there worrying herself to death. Did you know you weren't born with worry? You had to learn it. Some of you have learned it very well. Some of you have practiced it long, long hours of worrying about things. You weren't born with it. You had to start. You had to practice. An individual is being a worry. You've got to practice long hours at it. Some of you have mastered it, all right? Whatever you worry, you've learned it. So how do I worry? How do I live a worry-free life? Let me give you a few things. Number one is slow down. Everybody say slow down. Hurry and worry rhyme for a reason. Slow down. Slow down. I read a story many years ago of they use it in public relations classes. It's the classic work they use a lot of times. Some of you may have heard it. There was a city who was having problems. There was a lot of complaints about the city bus station, the city bus transport passing people by and not picking them up. So a lot of people were complaining. Said, we're at the curb. The bus comes right by us and doesn't stop and doesn't pick us up. And you know, listen to this. The bus company, the bus transit, put this out, and it's used in public relations classes because it's a classic. Here's what they put out on the road. They said, because the Transit Authority press release said this, it is impossible for us to maintain our schedule if we're always having to stop and pick up passengers. How many know you can get in a hurry and forget the main thing? You can get so busy in your life, and life passes you by. The value of kids, the value of time together, the value of a sunset. Come on, somebody. The value of everything happening in life. So the first thing to do is slow down. Second thing is take one day at a time. Don't borrow sorrow from tomorrow. Let me say it this way. Today is the yesterday. Today is the tomorrow you were worried about yesterday. Did you get that? Today is the tomorrow that you were worried about yesterday. Slow down. They did a study. I forgot how many men, and they found out that in the study, 4,000 men, 38 had died on a sudden heart attack on Monday, while only 15 died on Friday, because they were so worried when they get onto work on Mondays. A third thing is keep a long perspective. You know what? I don't know about you, but some things you did on your house, you look back right now and you think, how much money did I spend on that? What did I do on that? How fanatical was I about that thing that nobody do, touch, polish, bend, whatever? How big a deal was that to me? Come on, somebody. Now you walk through there and you think, why was that such a big deal to me? Why was I so upset about that little spot on the carpet? Come on, somebody. Why do I worry about that tear in the sofa? Why do I worry about that spot on the wall? Why do I worry about that piece of whatever? Can I get a better amen this morning? And then always remember God's faithfulness. Always remember God's faithfulness. You know, there was a man one time, and he had a friend who always worried. Came into work, he worried. He worried about his family. He worried about his money. He worried about the kids. He worried about his health. He worried. And then one day, his friend came into work, and his friend was smiling, whistling, just carefree art. And he said, what's happened? How did you get so carefree? You're not worrying. He said, no. He said, I've learned this. I hired somebody to worry for me. He said, really? He said, how much you paying him? He's $1,000 a week. He said, you can't afford that. He said, let him worry about it. Did you know there's somebody who worries for you? One translation says it that way. And I won't go in the theological part of that, but look what 1 Peter 5 says. Give all your worries and cares to God. You got somebody that cares for you that you can give all your worries to, and it won't cost you a single dime. Close your eyes, would you? Close your eyes this morning. I don't know what you're worried about. I don't know how your life is set up. I don't know how busy you are, and maybe you got a Mount Rushmore right here in Louisiana in your backyard and your house, where you just rush more and rush more and rush more and rush more. Some of you are really at that place when you have a house that's been under and you're rebuilding it, you don't know how to stop. You don't know how to quit. You don't know how to go back on the back porch or wherever you might be and drink a cup of coffee and just watch the sun go down. Maybe you're at a place where you really don't know. You don't know how to rest. You don't know how to just take a little bit of time and go enjoy life. Because that house will be there tomorrow, but your kids won't always be there tomorrow. Your car will be there tomorrow. All those things will be there tomorrow. Don't be like that bus transit company where they're trying to keep so much on schedule, they're missing the main thing. Because you think, how can I spend time with my family? How can I spend time with my kids when I've got this and this and this to get done? Well, the reason you're doing that is for them. The reason you're rebuilding it is for them. The reason you're redoing that is for your husband or for your wife. It's for them. Don't miss the main thing by trying to push so hard and so fast. And so you've got to come to that place in your life where you realize you can cast all of your worries on him because he'll do all that for you. You can take all of your worries. You can be just like that man that maybe you came in here this morning worried and worried and worried, but you didn't know that you really can. There's somebody already in place that says, I'll take all that from you. I'll take all your worries. I will take all of your worries. Cast all of your worries and cares on God. Because he cares for you. Keep your eyes closed just one last time. I don't know how big your balloon was. Maybe it could have been a lot bigger if I'd have named specific things that I didn't. Maybe your balloon would have blown up before you'd even gotten to the end this morning. But Jesus wants you to do this morning. Listen, you don't have to carry that. You don't have to be burdened with that. You don't have to be weighed down with that. God loves you with all his heart. And so I want you to do this. Would you just slip your hand in the one beside you? Would you just, all the way across, everywhere, just put it in there because we need each other so much. So, Father, right now we pray for our brothers and sisters on our left and right. We ask you, God, Lord, everything that they're burdened about and worried about this week that's eating their lunch, everything that's tormenting them in the night when they can't sleep and they wake up in the middle of the night, even last night when they woke up and those things were bothering them and worrying them, God, even that, Father, you can do things in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You're so worthy, Father. You're so worthy, God. We thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Keep your eyes closed. I don't know which way. I thought you wanted to say something. Father, we thank you. Lord, we glorify you, God. We give you all the praise. Lord, you're so worthy. And so, Lord, tonight, this morning, Lord, we just tell you that we cast all of our cares on you. When we let that balloon go this morning, Lord, we're letting it go into your presence. We're letting all of our worries go, release them to you. Help us, Lord. Help us release them unto you, Father. We love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Give the Lord a good clap off for this moment. Would you do that? Come on.